House Committee on Judiciary come to order today is Monday, April 6th. First item on the agenda is a public hearing. We don't have the paperwork for this today, so on public hearing on House Bill 3093.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 3093 provides persons licensed to carry a concealed handgun in another state the same protections afforded to persons with an Oregon concealed handgun permit, provided the issuing state license requirements are no less stringent than the Oregon requirements. The bill directs the Department of State Police to compile a list of eligible states and make the list available to law enforcement and the public. Although it's not in the SMS, we do have dash one amendments that were submitted. These dash one amendments, they take the onus off the Department of State Police and instead put it on the Department of Justice to compile that list.
And is this also the other state has to recognize Oregon's?
Just right. Provided that the requirements are no less stringent than Oregon's, but it doesn't state that they have to.
No, there's supposed to be an amendment. Yeah, there's an amendment that would require, like, if, for example, if it's Idaho, that they would have to recognize Oregon's if we recognize here.
I don't believe that's in the dash one amendments.
No. That wasn't that I know of, no.
Yeah, well, that means that's one of the things that will need to be in there to satisfy the other side of the building, so, or this side of the building. Okay. Courtney Johnson, Kevin Sterrett, and Roger Beyer, please.
Hi, Chair Barker, members of the committee. For the record, Courtney Johnston here today on behalf of the Oregon gun owners. The Oregon gun owners have been advocating for gun rights for responsible law-abiding gun owners in this state since 1975. And for several sessions now, we have the Oregon gun owners have worked with legislators to introduce concealed handgun license reciprocity legislation. And we've supported efforts to recognize concealed handgun license holders from states with substantially similar requirements in the past. So that's why I'm here today in support of House Bill 3093. Concealed handgun license holders are by definition law-abiding citizens, and it is because of our high standards we have here in our state that this kind of legislation works to support law-abiding citizens without reducing safety. We would like to see reciprocity. Many other states only recognize the gun rights of Oregonians with CHLs if our state recognizes their concealed handgun licenses, so we would welcome an amendment to that too, but I'm supporting the bill the way it is now as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Roger Beyer here representing the NRA. As you just heard, the CHL holders are, by definition, law-abiding citizens. We believe that all CHL holders should be recognized. This bill, with the dash one amendment, we believe the dash one amendment makes it a better bill by taking the task out of the state police and putting it with the Department of Justice, taking the subjectivity out of the bill to have someone determine whether or not they meet Oregon's and put in the statute what Oregon's requirements are, so it's very clear and everyone will know. Should be a fairly simple task to go through the other 49 states and say they meet this criteria or they don't. If they do, it goes onto a website someplace where law enforcement can see it. So we just think it's a good first step in gun rights and for CHL holders, and we would the amendment you spoke of, we haven't seen, about only going into effect if other states recognize Oregon's. Look forward to seeing that. I don't want to comment until I've had a chance to see it, but appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. And so that the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I talked to him and he said that would be a requirement to get it through his committee, and so I thought we had drafted that to say that it has to be reciprocal to the other state as well. So we'll get something written up on that as soon as we can. Kevin.
Yeah, for the record, Kevin Sterrett, Oregon Firearms Federation, and the reason we requested the dash one amendments were a couple of reasons. First of all, as you probably know, at one time the state police had this authority to recognize other states' permits, and with the criteria kind of as it is in the current bill, that the requirements were substantially similar. And so you can imagine when I moved here from New York City with a New York City pistol permit, I thought I must be fine, but the state police recognized none, ever. The other thing is, I don't think it's really should be the job of the state police to be making these decisions, because they're an enforcement body, and their job is to enforce the law, not interpret the law. And so I think it would be better to put it in to the Department of Justice. Plus, by listing, as Mr. Byers said, by listing what our requirements are, instead of saying, well, it's got to be similar, that does take all the subjectivity out of it completely. As far as requiring that the other state recognize ours, well, I mean, if that's what the demand's going to be on the other side of the building, but I think that needlessly complicates things. There's an awful lot of states that recognize our permit now that didn't make that demand of us, but we know it's going around here.
Thank you. Any questions?
Quick question.
Representative Post.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kevin, just because of what you just said, do you know, off the top of your head, how many states recognize Oregon's currently?
I think it's about 18.
18.
That 18 states do, yes. And none of them, obviously none of them require that we recognize it because we don't recognize anything.
Okay. Thank you.
No, thank you. Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We should probably, because I'm asking them to put the dash one language and then add that.
Okay. Okay, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3093. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2980.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 2980 authorizes a defendant to request a district attorney to approve an extension of the stay of criminal proceedings in district attorney diversion. It requires the court to grant an extension upon the district attorney's approval. There are no amendments, and we're waiting for the paperwork on this bill.
Thank you. Tim Colahan, Dana Vittelins, and Gail Meyer. Please.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, I'm Tim Colahan, District Attorney in Harney County, and I'm also appearing on behalf of the Oregon District Attorneys Association. This bill would simply allow a criminal defendant to request an extension of a DA's diversion, frequently 270 days on a felony diversion, 180 days on a misdemeanor diversion, just isn't enough time to complete the conditions of this. And it would allow a defendant to come in and ask for an extension, and the district attorneys are in support of this bill.
Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Diana Vittelins, and I'm here as Crook County District Attorney and on behalf of the Oregon District Attorneys Association. And I wanted to let you know that I talked with Ms. Myers about the bill, and the only troubling aspect of which we agree is the fact that their defendant has to give 30 days written notice to the district attorney. And we are in support of possible amendments to simply delete the 30-day requirement and instead say at any time prior to the end of the diversion, the defendant may request in writing, and or if the district attorney has initiated termination proceedings, because what happens is we often get into court and the defendant says, look, I only have 20 more hours of community service, and that would authorize us to be able to do this. So either or, and I guess the important thing is, as Ms. Myers said, is that once the defendant enters into a district attorney's diversion, a court-appointed counsel, that representation ends, and so it's kind of onerous to put that on the defendant to do it in writing 30 days prior to the end. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee, Gail Meyer, on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. We very much appreciate the district attorneys for introducing House Bill 2980. We think it's a great ameliorative step, and we appreciate the spirit with which they've done it. We are a little nervous about that 30-day notice provision because the lawyers aren't always still on the case, and it could probably – somebody's not calendaring themselves to comply with that. So we would love it if we could somehow agree to language where, as long as they request an extension, the DA gets to be the gatekeeper, grant it or not. But we would like to see that 30-day provision in there be more flexible. The other thing, Section 2, the bill would apply to diversion agreements entered into on or after the effective date of this act. I've had initial discussions with Ms. Vittelins, and I think she might go back with her agent to her association, but we would like to see it apply to current diversion agreements, so entered into before, on, or after the effective date of this act, because the idea is simply to keep these people involved and get their diversion agreement completed in a successful manner.
Thank you. Do you think you'd be able to get me language for the amendment real fast?
Chair Barker, yes, I could do that. I'll do that this afternoon and email it. And we don't object to Ms. Meyer's request. The idea would be for anybody that's currently in a DA diversion program, they can, once the bill becomes effective, that they can extend it.
That makes, seems to make sense to me. Any questions from the panel? Thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Getting
thank
that
you.
Language
thank
in
you.
The later fix for you. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2980. We're going to skip House Bill 2776. There is an amendment dropped at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And so we'll be taking a look at that before we do anything else. We'll open a work session on House Bill 3466.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 3466 states that release criteria for a defendant charged with a sex crime or a crime constituting domestic violence must include a prohibition on contact or attempted contact with a victim, either directly or through a third party. The bill provides that when a defendant is charged with a sex crime or a crime involving domestic violence, the court must enter the order prohibiting contact or attempted contact with the victim, either directly or through a third party, while the defendant is in custody. We do have proposed dash two amendments that state that the prohibition on contact does not apply to a defense attorney or a defense attorney's agent other than the defendant. And we are ready to move with the dash two amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3466, the dash two amendments into House Bill 3466.
Representative Williamson moves the dash two amendments into House Bill 3466, and it, as you heard, that allows the defense attorney or their agents to contact the victim. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3466 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 3466 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Williamson, please, as carrier. Open a work session on House Bill 3469.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 3469 increases the penalty for the crime of strangulation if the defendant knows the victim is pregnant. It makes the crime a Class C felony with a maximum punishment of 5 years imprisonment, $125,000 fine, or both. The bill expands the types of previous convictions that elevate assault in the fourth degree from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class C felony. There are no amendments, and we are ready to go.
Okay.
Question. What's the fiscal?
So you'll notice the fiscal in there. It should be right in your packet.
Okay, I got it.
SMS. Although it does have a projection in there, it's anticipated to have a minimal fiscal impact to state agencies and therefore does not require a referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
That's amazing.
It's talking about this coming fiscal year.
So the fiscals, as a result of 3194, are being tabulated a little bit differently than they have in the past. The projections used to be 4 years, and now they're actually 10 years. So they're looking out into the future very differently. And I've also talked to fiscal, and I've heard that they are, in addition, sort of looking at things as a whole package and all the legislation that's on the table for this session rather than as an individual bill. So this would incorporate all of that, the longer projection period and sort of looking at things as a whole.
You think it was a longer period, it would cost more.
That's why you're seeing increased numbers here. And
yeah.
Normally when you'd see something like that, it might result in a referral. However, we now have the admonishment that's laid out right under it that says it's actually a minimal fiscal impact and something that probably in sessions past would have generated a minimal fiscal impact.
$146,150,
it looks like.
That fiscal doesn't go to Ways and Means?
Yeah, see this paragraph here, it says, this measure is anticipated to have a minimal fiscal impact to state agencies and does not require a referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
I would only say that when we did, what was it, 3194, we're trying to reduce costs in the prison system, and I wonder over time if you get a few of these people that actually get sentenced to longer periods, we may have a bigger impact than what they're looking at. Because one person going to prison for just a couple of years would be that much or more.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3469 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 3469 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any further discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I'm troubled by the fact that we're not looking at the fiscal impact of this and other bills we've put in. I think that's got us in a situation where the corrections budget is tripled, I think, since I first came to the legislature. I think this bill should go to Ways and Means, and consequently, I will be voting against it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Greenlick?
No.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Leininger?
Aye.
Representative Post?
Aye.
Representative Springer?
Excused.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Williamson?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Representative Barton, do you want to carry this?
Be happy to, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Motion carries. Open a work session on House Bill 3476.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 3476 creates privilege in civil, criminal, and administrative and school proceedings for certain communications between victims seeking services related to sexual assault, domestic violence, or stalking, and qualified victims' advocates and services programs. The bill prohibits the disclosure of confidential communications without the consent of the victim. It declares an emergency and is effective on passage. There are no amendments, and we are ready to move today.
Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3476 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 3476 to the floor with a due pass. And once again, any discussion? Are there any objections? Hearing none, so order. Representative Leininger, would you carry this bill for us, please? Thank you. Quickly, anything further to come before the committee? We stand adjourned. Thank you, committee. Adjourned. Thank you, committee. We stand.